This week's episode of the FitCast is brought to you by TurbulenceTraining.com. Boost muscle growth and blowtorch body fat at TurbulenceTraining.com. By BlackStarLabs.com, you can save 10% on every order. Throw in the code FIT10 in the comments section at checkout and save 10%. And also by RobertsonTrainingSystems.com. High octane corrective exercise and performance enhancement at RobertsonTrainingSystems.com. Well, welcome to this week's episode of the FitCast. This is episode number 97. I'm Kevin Larrabee.
I'm Jimmy Smith. Put a little more bass in your voice there, bud. I'm Kevin Larrabee.
I'm sorry. I mean, we just recorded 5 minutes of the show, and then we lost it because my computer was acting up a little bit, so I apologize for that. But
get back on track. Collect yourself.
I'm trying to. So we have a great show for you guys this week. First off, I want to welcome Jimmy back to the show. We missed him last week, and Jimmy, I know you've been really busy.
Been extremely busy trying to get my physique formula out. I mean, anybody that tells you that, you know, getting an ebook out there on the internet is easy work, sure, if it's, you don't want it to be a good product. I mean, it does take some time. You have to do it, you have to edit it. You got to make it look good. You know, anything you associate with your name, you want it to look as good as possible. So it's coming out. It'll be out in about 2 weeks. So I'll have a more definitive date really, really soon. But everything's done. Everything's out of my hands. And now I can just focus on my training and kind of dropping that the last bit of body fat that everybody really wants to drop.
Very good. And like I said, we do have a pretty jam-packed show for you guys this week. First, we're going to start off talking a little bit about a movie that Jimmy saw in the last couple of weeks. Also, I'll talk a little bit about, I got two or three emails or mostly just Facebook messages about what my training's been like since I moved to Santa Monica, so we'll talk a little bit about that. Also, Biotest has a new supplement, and we have mailbag, as always, a question that I'm going to ask to the audience, and then we have a great interview with Eric Cressy where we're going to talk a little bit about his upcoming book, plus we talk about great kinesiology books for people, things that you can do to replace speed bench and cardio for ectomorphs, mesomorphs, and endomorphs. So all that is coming up on this week's show, but we will start off by talking about the movie that you saw, Jimmy. What'd you say?
I finally saw Bigger, Stronger, Faster, the most talked about film, at least in the fitness, bodybuilding, and training community, since, I want to say since Pumping Iron. I mean, because A, there really hasn't been a lot, but B, nothing's been directly related to bodybuilding, to strength training the way this has. And, you know, when are you going to find Louis Simmons, Jay Cutler? I mean, he was in a deleted scene, but Louis Simmons, Jay Cutler, and a lot of other top names, you know, in terms of either doctors or write for magazines or whatever, in the same movie. You know, Louis had a pretty big part in there, and it was fantastic. You know, it's about a director, Chris Bell, who actually works out. It's funny, Kev, because during the whole movie, he's saying, like, my gym, the gym. And his gym he's talking about is Gold's Gym in Venice, where you train, Kev. And long story short, Chris Bell was a kid from Poughkeepsie, New York, right around me, and he grew up idolizing, you know, Stallone, Schwarzenegger, Hulk Hogan, all these larger-than-life people. And the best part of the movie is that it opens up with Hulk Hogan beating the Iron Sheik for the WWF title. And him saying, you know, I thought I needed to be bigger. And then, you know, his brothers end up taking steroids for their powerlifting and their aspirations. He talks about it a little bit, and he just goes into the whole culture of steroids. And the best thing about Bigger, Stronger, Faster is that it doesn't leave you saying steroids are bad or steroids are good. He actually has a part in the movie where he calls Steroids 101, where he gives a very good overview of the side effects that we do know about steroids, their benefits, their negatives, and he really lets you draw your own conclusion. And, you know, a couple really interesting points that he brought up was that, you know, we don't know what the long-term effects are, and we never will because we don't do the research on them. You know, all the what can it cause, what can it do, we're all speculating that because steroids are classified the same as cocaine. You know, and he has an interview with Carl Coughlin, who was Shaquille O'Neal's trainer. He's a doctor in the Stanford area where I live, and it's funny, he was actually behind me on the road the other day. Nice little Porsche he was driving. And he's reading off about a supplement. He says he lists all the negative problems with the supplement, associated with the supplement. He turns it around, and it's vitamin C. You know, that just goes to show you that we kind of overreact to steroids amongst other things. You know, and you know, John Romano, who's the editor of Muscular Development, says, show me the bodies. You know, most people talk about Lyle Alzado and what went on with him with steroids, but there's never any proof of that. I mean, even Lyle Alzado's doctors come out and said that. So Chris Ballard did a fantastic job for it. I mean, it's not open nationwide. Like, I think it's playing in L.A., Chicago, and New York. Like, I had to go into New York City to see it at a small, very small theater. Had, like, 30 seats in there, and there was about 20 people in there. Not all meatheads, too, by the way. There was me and another guy. Everybody else was, you know, quote-unquote regular people. But it was fantastic, man. I think anybody that should see it, it's very, very good. It's funny, too. A lot of good humor. Talks about training a little bit, and good stuff.
So, how... I mean, it's really sad that it's not like in a wider release, so a lot of people can't see it. But if you right. if you don't have it, come to a theater near you. There's always DVDs, you know.
Well, they said that the DVDs are going to be out September 30th, which is the actual the first day of the Mr. Olympia. Obviously, they're doing that for the marketing push. Also, if you actually, it's the number one thing. If you go to YouTube and type in deleted scenes, it's actually the first thing that comes up. There's about a 5-6 minute clip of the bodybuilding aspect of it, where they interviewed Jay Cutler, Charles Glass, Lee Priest, Tony Freeman, a bunch of people like that, and talked about why people for aesthetically take steroids. And there's some really good scenes in there. You know, he talks about when Maria Shriver was interviewing Lyle Alzado, and he was like, well, the question I really wanted to ask was to Maria, was what's this going to do to your husband? You know, talking about the relation to Arnold and in bodybuilding. And there's a really actually cool scene, and it's the last thing I'm going to talk about it, is at the beginning he talks about how he knows all Schwarzenegger's movies. And if anybody remembers Predator, there's that really cool scene at the beginning where Arnold and Carl Weathers lock hands and both flex their biceps. So he talks about that at the beginning. The very last scene of the movie is him trying to get an interview with Arnold at Muscle Beach in Gold's Venice, and Arnold comes to him and they do the exact same handshake. And it's the exact same thing. So, I mean, that was pretty cool, and I would tell everybody, make sure you check it out and or grab the DVD. I mean, I know I'm going to, because they said that there's apparently a ton of deleted scenes that got cut out. And, I mean, there was even a very, very popular fitness model, a guy's name is Christian Boving, for years, he's been at Muscle Tech for like 10, 11 years. Muscle Tech actually fired him because of his scene in Bigger, Stronger, Faster, where he says, you know, I do take hydroxycut, but I took steroids in the past, or something along those lines. That's also on YouTube, and that was the scene that was played over and over again, and he actually lost his contract because of that. So
wow. It's
had a really profound effect on the whole bodybuilding and strength community.
Well, it definitely sounds like something everyone should check out, whether they're interested in steroids or not. Whether, I mean, our audience will be interested in this movie. It'd be...
The best thing is not just about steroids, though. It's about... They call it Bigger, Stronger, Faster, the side effects of being American. You know, and when you look at it, when you take a step back, you're like, wow, everybody does want to be bigger, stronger, and faster, right?
You know? He does address, like, athletes and,
Yeah, yeah. I mean, he talks about this obsession as a culture. You know, and he talks about performance enhancement and how... He's talking to like an orchestra director, and the orchestra director says, oh, there's nothing wrong with the beta blockers we take. Well, why do you take the beta blockers? Mm-hmm. So we're not shaking when we play. Well, that's performance enhancement as well, you know, and how they focus on everybody says, you know, this is the SUV on steroids, or this is the super fast computer on steroids, you know. It's just, it's awesome, you know. Check it out. That's all I got to say.
Definitely. It's, you know, let's transition into, what I've been doing in Santa Monica, because I know that Jimmy wanted to talk a little bit about it, and we had some listeners wanting to know like what it's like to train at Gold's in Venice. And basically, like I mentioned a little bit in that short clip last week, but I feel like the smallest guy in the gym, and that's not an exaggeration. To me, it seems there's a lot of obvious things, but there's a lot of people on steroids at Gold's Gym in Venice. And that's, I don't know statistics, that's me just making an assumption, you know, and running with it. But there's so many guys in there that cannot naturally be that big. And it's funny that I was looking around, they have posters of all the Mr. Olympias around the gym. Huge, larger-than-life-size posters. And they have one poster of the Mr. International, Natural, and this guy is half the size of all of these Mr. Olympias. But this guy won the Mr. International, Natural. I forget what the guy's name was, but, like, that's just, like... It's just interesting to me that they kind of, you know, portray that. They have one poster for that guy, but they have all the Mr. Olympias around the gym. These guys that, well, I can't say for sure, but took steroids, you know, to or enhancements to reach their goals, you know. And in one case, it's very inspiring when you're at the gym and you're squatting, you're deadlifting, and you see those posters. It gives you a little extra inspiration because you know the people that have come here before you. And I was talking with Jimmy, and I even saw Jay Cutler at the gym last weekend. And this guy is gigantic. This guy is so big. You see him on the supplement ads and things like that, but he is so much bigger than you would expect him to be in life. And it's just really interesting because it's something that I've never witnessed. Like the only gyms that I've trained at are what would be called a health club. I trained at Excel, and I trained here, besides, and also at college. And just everyone is, all the men are huge, they're muscular, they're cut. All the women, there's some women that look like they're, you know, female bodybuilders that are big, muscular, cut, have a couple manly features, which, I mean, it comes to the territory, which is another sign that they might be taking some performance-enhancing drugs. And it's just something, it's weird because, like, I have no desire for that. Like, and it's hard for me to see why guys, you know, that, like, that's a risk, taking steroids. That's quite a risk. And that's why I'm interested to see this movie to see how he broke down the side effects and the positive effects. But it is just something that, you know, it kind of almost bugs me every time I go into the gym, being like, you know, I'm doing box squats, but there's guys, you know, on the leg press throwing up 150 plates. They have 150 plates on the thing, and they have a guy sitting on the sled, and their legs are gigantic. But, you know, I'm just doing my own thing, and it's almost like when you see, I know I'm rambling on a little bit, but it's like when you see you're taking like a test or a final, and you see that kid, you know, two seats down from you, and he has like a little note card with all the answers on it, and you busted your ass to study for that test, yet you know he's going to do a lot better than you just because he has, you know, the answers for the test. It's kind of like I lose respect for those people. I know they train really hard, but you lose a little respect. Like if I took steroids, I could look like that too, but I choose not to.
No. Right. I mean, I think the thing about steroids, and this is what Chris Bell does such a brilliant job in Bigger, Stronger, Faster talking about, is that there's two views. You know, people look at it like cheating, it's a bad, but at the same time, you have to understand that these are people that, regardless whether they're competing or just want to look really good, that's their desire. And aside from the athletic aspect of it, it's that, A, we don't really know the side effects of them. There are studies that come out. Again, we don't know long-term studies. There's studies that come out that show that, you know, steroids aren't related to heart failure like we once thought. And I'm not being pro and I'm not being con. I just really think it's you're right. You look at it like, all right, is this person cheating? But at the same time, if you're competing in a sport, in a drug, in a competition that doesn't get tested, yeah. You know. And the thing is, again, there's
did performance they test
enhancement
for the Mr. Olympia?
I think they say that they do. I don't know if they actually do or
like
not.
Like I thought I heard some that if they do test, it's like a month out or something like that, or 2 weeks out from the
company. Yeah, you know, it's hard to find the actual, you know, if they do or if they don't, because it's such a hush hush thing, and you know, it's definitely a, you know, an underground in terms of what people are doing with their lives with steroids. But you know, again, we don't know how bad they are. We don't know how good they are. We know how good they are just because of what we see with, like you said, in the gym. But it's, you know, a lot of people, sometimes there's laziness too involved. You know, like, this is the thing, you know, Jay Cutler doesn't ride his Harley for more than an hour in the off season because he needs to eat. You know, because he's dead. You have to have that passion. You know,
I'm not saying they don't have the dedication.
I'm not saying you're not. You know, I know you understand it, but there's a lot of guys who just totally, like, I know people that take steroids, and they don't look like they take them at all. They're not caught. They're not jacked. But they're friggin' having a post-workout meal, and they're not eating for 3 hours after that. Like, that doesn't make sense. You know, like, to be the best at Jay's level is completely different because there are some genetics involved there. But, you know, you got to be a zombie to your life. Like, you know, if you want to get to the highest and top level, you don't go out partying. You don't drink. You know, when you're at a barbecue, you're eating chicken and brown rice. You know, you're not eating hot dogs on a roll. But you, there also are just some idiots that just do it because they want to look good. And I mean, you know, but it's a good and it's a good and bad thing, I guess.
I want to see if we can get this guy on the show.
I was gonna say that, and I actually, as you said that, I was Googling his name and trying to find out information.
Yeah, I'm on the main website and there's no like contact section.
I mean, I know he, and on one night, the movie came out, I think, on a Saturday, and that Monday he was on Muscular Development's Noble Radio, which airs at it from 8 to 10. He was on 8 o'clock. He was on Bodybuilding.com's Pro Bodybuilding Weekly, which he was on that from like 8:45 to like 9:30, and then he was on I think Big Butt Radio, which is like a health and fitness thing. So obviously people are contacting him. You know, I mean, he actually sells memberships at Gold's Gym Venice. So I mean,
Oh, maybe I should.
I
Does
don't
he
know. I
work
don't know if he
there?
still does. I don't know if he still does. But yeah, I mean, I'd be really eager to see if we can,
What's
you
his
know,
name
between
again?
me and you,
I'll write it
Chris
down.
Bell, BEL. I
Okay.
mean, between me and you, we have a lot of, you know, contacts within the industry. So hopefully we can leverage some of them and try to grab them and get them on the show.
Yeah, I will see if he's working there on Tuesday.
Cool.
Because,
I don't know if he'd be working there now. I mean, if you have
yeah,
the
I wouldn't
one of
think
the, I mean,
so.
in that movie, it's not just getting rated highly in terms of the gym crowd of meatheads. Like, it's getting
It got a
reviewed by some of
100% fresh rating from Rotten
Rotten
Tomatoes. The
Tomatoes,
people that visit
which
that
is amazing.
means absolutely every review that it's gotten has been positive.
Yeah, and that's amazing.
And it's from the guys that brought you Fahrenheit 9/11 and Bowling for Columbine, two pretty good
Right.
documentaries. Well, I'm
Cool. So
really I want to
worked
go
on.
see that now, dude. I want to see if I can. I might go into
I mean,
LA and
it's
see it.
playing in L.A. Yeah, I would see it so bad. Like, I was trying to find it online. Like, I was trying to do everything to find it, but I finally went into New York City, and in New York, if anybody in the New York City area, it's playing on East 15th and Union. So you can head on in there. I was in there two Saturdays ago, and I mean, again, like, there was only like one other guy in there and a girl who looked like they worked out.
Well, I
They're
want to
literally.
go ahead.
Go ahead.
Now
No,
you
I was going to say there was a girl I was with, and then there was a guy and a girl he was with. There were four people
Oh,
out of
wow.
about 20 that looked like they worked out, and like, I mean, there was old women in there. There it was a pretty interesting crowd.
There's one playing like 2 miles from my house in Santa
Yeah.
Monica.
So.
I gotta write that down. The Monica Fourplex. If there's anyone in the Santa Monica area that would like to go see that movie with me, drop me an email at kevin@thefitcast.com. I don't like going to movies by myself.
Oh, I love it. I don't want to
Yeah.
talk to nobody. I just want to watch the damn movie and enjoy it.
Well, you know what? I that's another thing. Like, if there's any listeners out there that that live in the Santa Monica area that train at Gold's, like, let me know if you want to train at 7 a.m. on Tuesdays and Thursdays. I would love a training partner.
I'm going to come out there soon, Kev. Very soon I'm going to come out there. I'll train with you 2 days. I want the experience of training out there.
It's like it was nice. Like I went today's Sunday. I went there at 9 a.m. and it wasn't really that busy. But if you go at I'm usually there at 8 a.m. on Tuesdays and Thursday mornings. It's packed. And it is if you're gonna use like supersets, you better have that piece of equipment, that second piece of equipment, right next to you, or you are going to lose it. And people don't put weights away. They never replace weights. They just will like leave a barbell with the weights on it, so you don't know if people are using it. So you just have to, just jump in pretty much. And
Hey, have you ever a question for you? Have you ever like heard people talking? You're like, well, let me just tell you my experience. So when I'm at the movie last week, there's a guy who was in shape, and there's a guy in front of him sitting in front of him. And the guy sitting in front of him had, I don't know, I think it was Power Training for Sport or Power Training for Athletes, one of those books. And they started talking about training, you know, mythologies, and I'm sitting quiet because I don't want to get involved. I don't want this discussion. And you know, have you ever listened to people that like? We'll go online and we'll read like the T Nations, and then come back and like talk to each other about the articles. Like, it's never really happened to me before, because like, and you know, I've, but they were sitting there. These guys were like, "Oh no, you know, I was Charles Poliquin who does a German volume train, and I tried it." And these, and I'm sitting there like, "Wow," you know, like I don't know. It just to me it was just like interesting because it's never really happened where people have brought up like that little subculture that I live in, you know.
Yeah, well, the closest thing that I've gotten to that is I saw some guys wearing Hot Rocks t-shirts at the gym.
Oh, really? I mean, I one time went into a donut shop. I'm sure this is not the best story, but I went to a donut shop to get a cup of coffee, and there's a guy in there with a T-Nation hat and T-Nation t-shirt, and he actually recognized me. But other than that, I was like, well, this, A, it's pretty cool to be recognized, but B,
yeah,
you know, cool to see that he's T-Nation and out.
Yeah, no one has come up to me in L.A. yet, unfortunately. I mean, you think with my popularity and me being so famous that they would, you know, wouldn't say hi to Tom Cruise and they'd say hi to Kevin Larrabee instead, but not yet.
Or the, I'm not going to ask it. I'll ask you privately. Never mind.
Fantastic, and I know what you're going to say.
Kev.
Yeah. Jimmy, oh, by the way, Jimmy's stealing his neighbor's internet, so if Jimmy cuts out, it's not my fault, it's Jimmy's fault. Jimmy, are you there? God, I think we might have lost Jimmy Smith. We're going to pause for a second, and we're going to be right back. All right, so we have Jimmy back with us, and just a couple of quick things I wanted to talk about Golds is some cool things that I've noticed is that, A, they have a glute ham raise, which is nice. Fantastic. I'm in heaven. I haven't had one of those for about six months, so it's nice to be able to do glute ham raises again. Also, Jimmy, I don't know if you've ever seen this before, but I think Jimmy just went to go to the bathroom. Jimmy just got... Okay, see, we're going to have to use this time to make fun of Jimmy some ways. What can we do? Okay, I want everyone to send emails again to Jimmy about, you know, being... What can we do? Let's just say send Jimmy at jimmysmithtraining.com. Send him emails and say, Jimmy, again, you just left the show. Like, you don't have respect for the listeners, something like that. Just send something like that and be mad at Jimmy. And, again, he just got up and went to the bathroom. I can't believe it. Well, anyways, I'm going to continue to talk about what I wanted to talk about. First off, I'm going to talk about that piece of equipment at Golds. So we might as well just talk about it now while Jimmy's going to the bathroom, and we'll get his take on it when he gets back. So there's this piece of equipment that is like, it's like a rope where, all right, Jimmy, are you back?
Yeah, what happened?
Okay, well, I'm in the middle of talking, so we'll just, Jimmy, there's this piece of equipment in the Golds gym where you can, it's like a rope. It's like if you're climbing a rope and you can add weighted resistance to it. Have you ever seen that before?
Never.
I'll take a picture. Actually, I don't want to take a picture. I'll see if I can find a picture of it online because they don't allow you to take pictures of things in the gym. But basically, it's like if you're climbing a rope, like gym class climbing a rope, and it's you can add resistance and you can basically like do a continuous motion, just like switching hands. Which is, I thought that was a pretty cool, you know, alternate to like a lat pull down or something like that for some endurance training. I don't know. For all those kids that had trouble climbing the rope in gym class, this is for you. And so Jimmy, let's talk a little bit about BioTest. They have a new supplement out this week, and it's always kind of an event when BioTest has a new supplement come out. And I don't even know how to pronounce this. Do you know how to pronounce the supplement?
Rhodiola rosa.
Cool. Can you tell us a little bit about it? Because I read the synopsis, but I haven't, like, I don't know if you've checked out any research or anything on it.
I haven't checked out research of it in a while. It's actually a really interesting supplement. I have recommended it a lot in terms of, like, adrenal or chronic fatigue situations, because it is the term is adaptogenic herb, meaning that it helps your body adapt to training stresses, and it actually has a very calming effect, you know, which is interesting in of itself with the supplement. But more or less, it's really been studied a lot for like the past 30 or so years, mainly out of like Russia, Scandinavia, countries like that. And research has shown that it's an antidepressant, has some anti-cancer properties. It's, you know, heart functions, cardioprotective, cardiorespiratory functions, and enhancing central nervous system. So, you know, again, we know it's chronic fatigue syndrome. A lot of doctors functional medicine doctors, progressive doctors, homeopathic, whatever you want to call them, they actually, a lot of them prescribe it for people in the Northeast in the winter, because once the sun goes down, depression rises. We know that relation to testosterone decreases. So it has some effect on testosterone as well there. It's some people love it. I've actually never taken it in terms of like all the adrenal stuff I've taken, but you know, it definitely has an effect on muscle building, you know, because we know if it causes us to relax and kind of calm down, that it's obviously good for fatigue, and any type of person who's training needs to reduce the fatigue as much as possible and rest, and you know, it's also good for energy production. So, you know, that's kind of long and the short about it. Go a little deeper, but I don't want to bore people.
Yeah, I mean, if you want, you can check it out at T-Nation, but they're basically saying for the effects on human is that it enhances mitochondrial function and therefore influences substrate oxidation and turnover, reduces exercise, induced lipid and protein oxidation. Well, I shouldn't be reading this. This is kind of boring for people. If you're interested, you can check it out on the site. And this is actually related to the question that we're going to be asking for this week. So just if you want to, I'll throw a link for it in the show notes. Also, I want to quickly mention Black Star Labs, Casein Pro 2.0, Chocolate Flavor, greatest tasting protein ever. I literally have 8 tubs of it sitting in my apartment right now. You had to stock up, you know. Well, the going's good, so I did that.
Do what you gotta do, cuz.
And it's great stuff. So, you know, we're going to take a quick break right now. We're going to be right back with a mailbag, a question for the audience, and we'll talk with Eric Cressy, or at least I will. I'll talk with Eric Cressy. We'll be right back. All right, now for Jimmy's favorite part of the show. The mailbag. I don't know why I did that, but we do.
Oh, I thought my favorite part of the show, I thought we were going to talk about our training, what we're both doing with our training.
Oh, yes, we forgot that. So we'll talk about that before we get into the mailbag. So, Jimmy, since I started talking a little bit about what I was doing, let's talk about what you've been up to. You said you've been, you know, upping the intensity lately. What's been going on?
Well, you know, the whole thing about my diet and why it's different this time and another time is when I had dieted, I wanted to do it fast. I wanted to get fast results like everybody else. I was never really too concerned with keeping my muscle until last August. Like, I looked at myself and I was like, I'm 6'6", like 225. I was like, that's not cool. You know, like, it's just like I wanted more. I wanted to be bigger. I finally wanted to take the leap forward. You know, because with me, I am very much a paralysis by analysis person. So, like, I would read all this great training information and then my training would just, like, suck, because I don't think about that too much. But anyway, long story short, so I got up to 260. As everybody knows, my recent training now is designed to pull me back down. And obviously, you know, you want to get ready for the launch of your own, you know, training manual and training solution. You don't really want to have a big pot belly. So I've been training kind of hard to get that down. But what's different now is that I'm keeping carbs on my diet. I was your typical, I want to be ketogenic, I hate carbohydrate type person. And it worked for me very well, very effective for like 4 weeks, 3 weeks. But then it was just all muscle loss. You know, and that was even with not even doing a lot of cardio, because I'm blessed with a metabolism that I can get pretty lean without doing any cardio. So I kept it in a little bit more. And now I'm just, you know, kind of dropping down. Your body's going to fight you every step of the way when you're trying to lose fat. So I'm at the point now, like, if I take my shirt off, like, I have a good little six-pack that people, you know, like, a lot of people would want it, but to me, I want it to be a little bit leaner. So I'm going a little bit more harder. I've really kind of upped my cardio now. I'm doing cardio 6 days a week, you know, alternating between. Sometimes I'll do a combination of high intensity and low intensity in the same session, or sometimes I'll go high intensity like I did yesterday and today, and then tomorrow I'll just do some steady state incline walking for like 30 or 40 minutes after my training. Because I want to get the fat burning effects of both of those. But that's kind of what's going on with my training now. I haven't really lost a lot of size. I'm still sitting between 236 and 240, you know, which for me is where I want to go. I mean, I'm already thinking about my next goal. You know, my next goal is to next June to be a lean like 250, 255. You know, I'm not going to do it the bad way of just totally, you know, binge eating for 2 or 3 months. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to all natural, of course, but I'm just going to kind of slowly climb back up. And, you know, I really think the thing, Kev, is with muscle building is you just have to be diligent about your eating. Like, people aren't. Like, I mean, I know my metabolism. That's the first thing. You've got to know your own metabolism. And I talk about that in the physique formula. But knowing your own, own metabolism, like, I know it's – I ate at 130. It is 313 now on the East Coast, and I have to eat again. That's I totally against the two – or it's totally against the 3 or 4 hour rule. But that's my body, man. You know, so I just think, you know, with muscle building, you just got to eat and eat a lot, you know, and don't be afraid of carbohydrates at the right time. That's my spiel.
That's a good point. Well, you have to give us an update in the next couple weeks. Maybe we should do this like once a month. It's just
we should do a training. I mean, I don't know. I mean, you guys email Kevin, let him know. I think personally, people are more interested in training a little more frequently. I think people would want to know, you know, kind of every time.
Yeah, just you know, shoot us an email, like questions at thefitcast.com or Kevin at thefitcast.com, and I'll go to the same place. So feel free to let us know. But I was talking with Jimmy a little bit about this before the show, but I've really, due to my work schedule, I've been working about 50 hours a week plus running two websites. So more like 60 hours a week. So I've been cutting my training back to 3 days a week, and I've been doing more of like a full body setup, which I guess you could, I mean, if you really want to break it down, you can kind of say it has Waterbury like rules to it. Like I might start with like a 10 by 3 or 8 by 3, whether it be like a squat or a bench press, like a front squat, and still deadlifting heavy. So I've done for the last 2 months, I've done Eric Cressy's his stuff from his book, and I actually got my deadlift to go up another 40 pounds in 2 months, which I was pretty happy about. I'm inching towards that 500, which I would love to get to by Christmas. I know it's going to come a little bit slower now that I only have really 3 days. It's really only have 3 days a week to work out. Otherwise, I saw that I was pretty much dragging ass to work because I've been having to wake up so early and I get home pretty late. But I think I'm going to be all right with a 3 day full body, and for 1 hour on Saturday, I bike around Santa Monica. I have a mountain bike, and I just, you know, it's a way for me to relax. Like I'm able to, you know, bike down to the beach and go downtown where all the shops. I usually pass by Gold's, and that's really more of like a relaxing thing for me, just to get myself out of the apartment to stop typing for a little bit. And I was talking with Jimmy, like I now have been getting games sent to me to review. So I found that I've been having to play games for like 14 hours on the weekends, which really isn't fun. I'm serious. It sounds
serious?
I'm spending 14 hours a weekend in my apartment, and I live in Santa Monica.
Oh yeah.
So basically that an hour and a half long bike ride is really like just a way for me to relax. I usually just bring my iPod with me, and I bring my iPhone. So if I get lost, I just punch in directions on my iPhone and I can find my way home. So I don't worry about that. And usually on the run, like I usually have something to do, whether it be like hitting up the CVS if I need anything. It's like a drugstore.
I mean, I think people know what CVS is. It's a national company.
Okay. And and also, I get a Trader Joe's about a mile and a half from me, so I usually hit up Trader Joe's on the way. I buy all my groceries at Trader Joe's. I don't go anywhere else except I buy diet soda at the grocery store. That's pretty much as my advice to keep me going is some Diet Dr. Pepper, which they had Indiana Jones on.
Nice.
So that makes me excited. And that is, I mean, that's pretty much it. But I really think, especially in this nice weather, a long bike ride, you'll feel great after a long bike ride, especially like everyone in California or in Santa Monica is biking. Like no one right now, gas prices have hit $5 a gallon in Santa Monica.
Yeah. That's not good, man.
Yeah. So I've been pretty much riding my bike to work, and so that's like kind of like my morning cardio. I ride my bike for 15 or 20 minutes to work, and I ride it home at night. So it just helps. I just, you know what? I've gotten to the point where I really pick my battles, and getting 3 days of weight training is good for me, and I'm able to get in my cardio, you know, wherever I can fit it in. I usually, I bring my lunch to work, but people tend to go out for lunch at work, so I usually just walk with them wherever they go, you know, just to get out of the office and move around. And we'll talk about it a little bit in the interview with Eric, but I cannot emphasize more the value of getting up every 20 minutes at work and walking around. Otherwise, you will start having, like, your upper back will be sore. You'll start hunching over, and you just make it a conscious effort, whether you're doing the Outlook thing to get up and walk around, or, you know, just make sure you go to the bubbler, or, you know, go talk to some fellow employees. For me, I might go play some NBA Jam for a little bit. If anyone knows what that is, you're awesome.
Shit.
And, you know, that's really about it. But, dude, I think that's the thing I look forward to most is my one-hour bike ride on Saturdays. I just find it so relaxing, and there's so many stores like I can stop in. Like, I don't buy anything because I can't afford anything, but it's, like, nice to they actually have some really cheap supplement stores around here, too. Like, No Name.
You ever go to Max Muscle in Venice Beach, Jay Cutler store?
Yeah. I didn't know that. That's a store?
Yeah, and the Max Muscle in Venice Beach is Jay Cutler store, yeah.
Oh,
he co-owns it with, what's his name? I forget the guy's name now.
It's pretty cheap, too. It's real, and even at Gold's Gym, like, they have a supplement store inside the gym, and everything is pretty much the online prices if you're going to bodybuilding. They sell lots of No Explode there, believe it or not.
Yeah, they do. They do.
They have, like, literally a mountain of No Explode, and you get a free t-shirt with every purchase. So people who are wearing those t-shirts. I see those t-shirts a lot. So obviously people are buying the No Explode. But
have you ever eaten at the Firehouse yet? Like, it's kind of
But I rode my bike past there every weekend.
That's like, I don't know how it was then versus how it is now, but, and this is as, you know, obsessed with bodybuilding as I am, I've actually gone online and Googled their menu, because they have, it's in an old firehouse that was converted to a restaurant, and they have a bodybuilding-friendly menu. Like, I mean, have, it's like kind of like a burger and steak place. I mean, they have food for quote-unquote regular people, but then, like, they'll have the bodybuilder's breakfast, and they'll have, like, 8 choices, and one of them's, like, 2-ounce flank steak, 8 egg whites, 8 whole grain pancakes. You know, they have like a whole menu, so breakfast, lunch, and dinner of like 8 to 10 choices of just bodybuilding related food.
That's awesome. I'll have to check.
Yeah, that's where
place
like all the bodybuilders go. Like after they train, a lot of them for meals. Now they go to the Firehouse because that's where, you know, they have a lot of, and like you can like substitute for like a fibrous carbs. You can put yams in, or you can put cottage cheese in instead. So I mean, it's kind of a, it still has, I mean, I've never been out there, but just from being involved and talking to people, it still has some of the luster of you know, old Gold's Venice out there. I mean, a lot has changed. A lot of people have moved on, et cetera, but.
One thing I did want to mention, like, it's ever since I moved out here, I don't have any, I guess I could put it, healthy friends. A lot of the people I work with are, like gamers, like they're not out of shape, but they're not necessarily ones to, I don't know anyone at work that lifts or anything. So, I'm really itching for someone, out in the Santa Monica area, you know, to do those things, like, you know, go to the Firehouse or go train at Gold's.
Got to do it yourself and then you'll eventually meet people, bud.
Yeah, I know, but I'm a very shy person.
You are a shy person with bad posture, but I mean.
Yep. Great.
I
know you did. So we're going to go right in the mailbag because this is the mailbag segment. I forgot about that. So I'm going to pull up our email bag, and the first one comes from Matt Tuck, and he just said, I just thought that I would let you guys know that I've reached my fat loss goal finally, and he sent this like on June 2nd, so it was a while ago. And I am now at 9% body fat at 185 pounds and 6'1", and can see my six-pack. I started Alan Cosgrove's Warp Speed Fat Loss Plan, and it was awesome. I have a question, not specifically for... Oh, this is for Scott. Oh, a question... okay, we asked that question to Scott last week. My bad. But you know what? Congratulations.
Do it again.
Let's
do it again.
He says, my question is, how can I stay lean while slowly putting on some more muscle? What kind of dietary strategy should I use, and how much cardio would be necessary? Thanks for all the advice. You guys were a lot of help.
You know, I think we're going to have, actually, it's funny you brought that up. Me and Kev have been talking about this for a while, but I think we're going to have a whole show just dedicated to what you do after you're lean to then build up muscle and stay lean, simply because it's such a popular topic. I get emails about it all the time. Kev does. So I think one day, very soon, we're just going to have a show that's just dedicated to that. You know, all the questions are going to be related to that, and then that's going to be our topic. I mean, sorry, I don't try to duck the question or anything.
No, well, that's a good idea. The next email is very cool. It comes from Trevor Wilford. He says, Kevin, quick mailbag question. I used to be well over 50% body fat. The birth of my daughter motivated me to do something about this, and over the last 2 years, I've gotten myself gotten myself down to about 20% body fat. First off, props for that, man. That is quite.
Yeah, that's awesome.
That is quite an effort. My problem is that I've been losing weight for 2 years now, and I want a break. Furthermore, it is frustrating to go to the gym week after week and see little gain, if any, to my due to my caloric intake, currently below 1,500 and 1,800, depending on exertion level for the day. The issue is that every expert seems to be telling me that I need to continue to push on until I get sub-teens before I stop. I have no intentions of gaining the fat back, but I would like to transition off to a maintenance diet for 3 to 6 months before hitting it hard again. It would give me a chance to recoup mentally, physically, and metabolically, and maybe even try to put on a little muscle. What do you guys think? If you're not opposed to the break, some tips on for a transition would be nice as well. Sincerely, Trevor. Well, that again, I think we have to, you know, give a shout out to Trevor for that. That is quite a goal.
Yes, Trevor, that's awesome.
And it's you know, well, man, first off, at 20% body fat, you're at a much better place than you were 2 years ago. And I mean, it's tough for. It's going to be tough for both of us to give you any, like, hard-hitting advice because we don't know your current weight in relation to the calories that you're consuming right now. But to be honest, if you've been dieting for 2 years and you want to go into a maintenance phase where you're eating clean foods but you're just eating a little bit more, a few more calories, that's not going to hurt you. You're not going to gain that weight back unless you start, you know, cheating every single day and, you know, having a bag of Oreos instead of that, you know, that spinach omelet in the morning. What do you think, Jimmy?
Well, first of all, I don't know who these, you know, the gurus are who are saying you that you have to keep dieting. I mean, I just think, dude, when you look at it, man, like, if you've been dieting for 2 years, that's tough.
And that's a long time.
That's a long time, and I really think the thing you have to look at a couple of factors here. Obviously, if you've been dieting for 2 years and you've been at 1,500 calories for a while, I mean, things are shutting down.
Yeah.
I mean, you look at any natural bodybuilder and contest time, they don't have any sexual function, they can't get that last bit of fat off, et cetera, because the hormones just shut down. So first thing you have to do is you have to throw yourself immediately back up to a higher calorie diet. Higher calorie diets do not equal high carb diets or eating all you want diets or anything, okay? First and foremost, like, you have to look at it where you're doing yourself good by adding more calories back in, upregulating your thyroid and other hormones just from overeating. And again, another thing is now you've had low insulin, or we're assuming you have because you've been dieting, so your SHBG, your sex hormone binding globulin, is going to be locked up, so that's going to bind your free testosterone, so you're going to have to overeat to kind of unlock that door. And it's just like continual running into a brick wall and saying, you know, why am I not getting through? You know, props on training so hard and being so diligent with your diet, but don't be scared. You know, the thing is people are so worried about putting fat back on, and yeah, it sucks, and you don't want to do it, but you have to kind of take the good with the bad a little bit here. No one's ever going to bulk up 100% pure lean muscle, you know, and that's what we're going to talk about when we do like the special edition of the FitCast very soon. But, you know, just add back up, buddy. You know, put the calories back up. Keep the cardio in, but kind of decrease it a little bit, decrease the days you're doing it, and you should be good, but don't be so obsessed. I know you want to get a little bit lower, and you will, but you'll notice if you overeat for 3 or 4 weeks and then you diet again, you'll be okay.
Yeah, the only thing that I'm going to add to that is don't allow yourself to have a free pass to eat whatever you want.
Yeah.
That's the only thing, like, you just don't want to, completely fall off that wagon and start going back to your bad habits. So just, you know what, if you've been, especially if you've been keeping carbs low, add in some more fruits. That's one thing you might have been limiting, is just add in some more fruits, like blueberries, strawberries. This is the season to get fruits.
Yeah, it is.
The next couple of questions come from Matt Beattie, who I think he must be a new listener because he sent us like a ton of questions.
New listeners are welcome to send questions in anytime.
Anytime. That's why we're going to answer them. Questions@thefitcast.com. He says, hi, fellas. Great show. What do you think of the Trader Joe brand supplements? They are cheap, but I don't know about their quality. Thanks, Matt. And you know what, Matt? I actually have some Trader Joe supplements. He is right. Trader Joe's has really cheap supplements. I don't know. It's not like cheap in terms of the fish oil that I bought at Costco, which I know, Jimmy, it might not be pure, but it's cheap as shit. So I bought it.
If it ain't pure fish oil, don't take it.
And I actually got some CLA from Trader Joe's because it's like it's $8 for a month's supply.
That's pretty sick.
That is really cheap, and especially when you're talking
How much is it, like? How much is in it? Like, what's the content? I'm Googling it right now.
Hold on. Jimmy, talk about something for a sec. Not about me.
With supplements, the thing you have to do is, obviously you have to be careful. You want to trust good name brands. There are some supplements out there. Like, there's creatine monohydrate, okay? The most researched supplement of all time, or protein powder. It's going to be hard to kind of screw that up. And unless you're really getting it from, fill up the back of the truck place, you'll be okay. Trust it, go with it. And if you find a deal, good for you. I think that's awesome, and run with it. But, there's tested supplements and proven supplements like creatine, branched chain, amino acids, protein powder that you can go with and still be okay. So, I would say just first of all, read the label too, because a lot of times companies will put like the worst absorbable form of, say, zinc into a supplement, and then that's when you kind of don't want to deal with it. But I found a PDF. How is Trader Joe's able to sell top quality dietary supplements? This is obviously coming from Trader Joe's websites, but let's check that out. Kev, are you back? Do I have to keep rambling or what?
Sorry, I'm just eating some.
Okay. Very professional.
Very professional. The Tonal and CLA blend, 1,000 milligrams per serving, which is one soft gel, obviously.
Yep.
Yielding 740 milligrams of CLA.
It's not bad.
It's not bad. That's
what's
pretty
like
much
the ice. Yeah. What's the ISO? What is it? C. Keep reading the back.
They don't have that.
Oh.
I was looking for that.
Well, I mean, hey, what are you gonna do?
Maybe for $8, though, I'll take some CLA.
Yeah, for $8, also have you not chewing and talking at the same time.
Sorry, it's a long show, and I just got back from training and I'm hungry.
Have you tried their greens product at Trader Joe's, Kev?
Oh, I know. I didn't even see it.
They do. It's called Very Green.
I'll have to check it. Hold on, let me write that down. So I got to go to Trader Joe's today. I'll check that out. Very Green.
What time is it? What's it like? 12 o'clock by you, Kev?
Yeah. All right. So, Matt. I mean, Trader Joe's is a pretty reputable company. I know it's not like you're buying Bozo the Clown's fish oil.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't have the good stuff. This is, it's actually made in Canada, which is good.
Oh, made in Canada. We know it's good then. Not our Canadian friends.
Yeah. Canada usually makes some pretty good stuff. I think Greens Plus guys are in Canada too.
I think they are.
Yeah. Let's see. So, that's Matt's first question. Let me go to his next question. A couple ideas for the FitCast. Worst supplements. We've all tried horrible supplements, so I think it would be cool to have a show or a segment where you and Jimmy and maybe a guest talk about your bad supplement experiences. Good idea. But we're going to hold that one, and I think we'll do that. I'm going to write that down too. And I'm going to star his email so I can go back to it. And also he says stevia. I read that Coke, and I'm guessing that Jimmy, you might have read this. I've read that Coke is trying to get approval to have their soda sweetened with stevia by 2009. However, my source is Wikipedia, so I don't know if it's legit. Have you guys heard anything about this?
I heard something very, very quickly in a little blurb about it. I know that Coke just put Splenda in their Diet Coke. So they replaced aspartame with Diet Coke. And see, a lot of people say, what's the difference between Diet Coke
and Coke? And it's on the
market? Yeah, it's on the market. They said, what's the difference between Diet Coke and Coke Zero? Coke Zero has less aspartame and more of another ingredient, though. I'm not sure what it is. Another
artificial.
I can tell
you right now.
Yeah.
Hold on. I got some Coke Zero. Zero back again.
You know, so they say that they... I got to ask this dude. Kev, come back, because I have to ask you a question. I can't go on if I don't ask you a question. But, I mean, the physique formula is coming out soon, people, so pay attention to your email, jimmysmithtraining.com. You back, bud, or what?
Were you just plugging something?
No. There's no plug here.
Okay.
What's the nutrition? Is there sugar in Coke Zero or no?
No.
Oh, okay, sweet.
I don't know what they could be using.
Well, it's not like I'm sorry, I'm take back that it's an artificial sweetener. There's less aspartame and something else of another ingredient in there that's already in Diet Coke anyway. I'm sorry for forgetting the name. But
there's more salt. That's the only thing I can.
Yeah, well, whatever. Okay, more sodium, but sodium's not all that bad. I did hear they're trying to get approved for stevia, so that would be huge if they got approved for stevia in that. I mean, listen, I drink Diet Coke. I am of the school of thought that artificial sweeteners are a cause of a lot of diseases that we have now. I know they're doing a lot of research with autism and artificial sweeteners. And no, my source is not Jenny McCarthy. I do listen to doctors about autism because I know she's out there about autism now, but that's not going to be my source. But I do believe that the natural artificial sweeteners do have a lot in it, a lot to do with some of the diseases we have. But, I mean, I still drink Diet Coke when I diet sometimes. If they got stevia in it, man, provided they can make it taste good,
yeah.
That's the problem. I mean, I personally love it. But again, I'm not the one that's going to fund this, you know, billion-dollar company.
I'm not a stevia fan. I
love it.
Man. I like the now makes a stevia.
I love it. Yeah.
Stevia it's Balance, which is toned down, and
yeah, it's Stevia Balance has like chromium in it and inulin.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I love it. If they could somehow make it taste good, though, that's a thing. Because the reviews I saw about the Diet Coke with Splenda was that it didn't taste all that good. And if that happens, I mean, the minute the sales dip, they're going to put aspartame back in, regardless of the health, it's big business. So I would love, it would be awesome if the Diet Coke with Splenda, with a stevia tasted good, because then I would buy it by the cases.
Speaking of big business and refreshments, I actually got to try out a drink that's in testing and that they're trying to get out into the market. It's out on my bike right now, but when I was on my bike ride yesterday, they're handing them out in downtown Santa Monica. It's this new drink where, you know how, like, vitamin waters are really popular right now? Everyone's drinking vitamin water or whatever the other brand is.
50 Cent?
Yeah, 50 Cent vitamin water. And their gimmick or their sales pitch is that they keep the vitamins locked in the cap, and you twist the cap, and the vitamins will come out and they'll go into the water in the drink, and then you shake it up, and they're saying, like, you know, because the vitamins in vitamin water, like the vitamin water could be out in the shelf for so long, like the vitamins are going to degrade in quality. So this way you get, like, you literally get the vitamins right away.
Cool. Have you ever tried sugar-free Red Bull?
Yeah.
I just tried it for the first time the other night, and I loved it.
It's not
and
bad.
I tried Lipton white tea with raspberry. Slamming.
Yeah, I'm pretty much on a Brita water, and they had Coke products. Like Diet. I got a bunch of Diet Dr. Pepper and Coke Zero the other day from the grocery store, really cheap. So I did that.
Can I actually flip the conversation? You mentioned your iPhone the other day. If anybody out there ever owned the BlackBerry curve titanium or titanium curve, whatever it is, let me know. I'm interested in getting that, but I don't want to, like, I really don't want to have a phone that has, like, email and all that on it. I believe most multitasking sucks. That's why people don't get stuff done. But at the same time, I might fall prey and buy one. So if anybody's ever used that or has it, please let me know. Which also sucks is my fingers are too big for it. And that's a whole different story, though.
Good call. So we have, I think we have one more question from Matt. And we'll save the next one for, we have some more questions from listeners, but we'll save them for next time. Again from Matt, he says, "Hey fellas, I'm fairly tall and have long arms and legs. I've always struggled with the big lifts like bench press, squats due to the leverage disadvantage. Would you train a tall person any differently than an average sized person? Are there any lifts that are better geared towards trainees with longer limbs? Maybe dumbbell bench press instead of barbell bench press, or sumo deadlifts instead of squats?" These alternative, I don't know why you would say that, but these alternative exercises seem to be seem to shorten the range of motion, but is this a good thing? I'm 6'6", and I thought at 6'6", Jimmy might be able to offer some insight on the topic and for all those long-limbed lifters out there. Thanks.
Oh, man, I am in your world. And it's funny, I've been getting a lot of people that are emailing me about, like, being tall and building muscle. And
lots of tall people.
Yeah, well, there is. I mean, tall people technically these days are classified as anybody over 6 foot. I mean, that's like the official, nice. You know, like, yeah, you're not officially known as tall if you're over 6 foot, but that's, you know, the average American is, like, I think now, like, 6 foot, so anybody over that. But anyway, yeah, to be honest, like, I love my height. I wouldn't trade it for the world, because like, when I walk into places, you know, at 6'6", 240, people look at me and are like, my God, he's enormous. Or people are looking at me and they're like, you know, he's got to be, you know, a star. You know, he's got to be some type of athlete or whatever, and that's pretty cool. But back to the training question at hand. Yeah, you know, I've always sucked at squatting, and I've always sucked at benching. My max bench has always been 315. And granted, now I don't train to be strong. I train to look good and look like I lift big weights, but that's a different argument. Squatting, I haven't really been that good either. My max squat has always been around the 315 to 345 area. Deadlifts I've been a little bit better on. You know, but at the same time, you're right. So generally what I found is obviously the dumbbell thing, you're right on. So switch to dumbbell chest press, incline dumbbell chest press, any of those movements. Also for pure pec development, flies are going to work better for us just because of the leverage advantage disadvantage, but the leverage advantage associated with having longer limbs. So flies are going to keep more stress in the pecs. Like side raises will keep more stress in the shoulder than will overhead pressing. You know, being as tall as we are, we're really losing a lot of tension on our delt as we press. So I would just totally, I just started overhead pressing again. I haven't done it for like 6 months. So, and my shoulders have grown fine. I've grown wider. I don't think anybody that does any shoulder work wants to have big shoulders. I think they want to be wider anyway. So that's just a little nugget right there. Sumo deads, like you talked about, that, you know, I love doing them.
Great exercise. Huge.
It is great exercise. I squatted last week for the first time in like 4 months, and man, I couldn't walk till like Friday. And it's sad, and you want to do it, and if I want to get to 250, 260 naturally. And this is another good thing about being so tall, is that it sucks and it's hard to build muscle, and you look leaner when you're dieting down to get abs. But when you want to get up to that, if your goal is purely muscle now, if you want to get up to that 250, 260 weight limit, you can easily do it. I mean, if you look at my legs right now, I can add 15 pounds to my legs by just training them hard for the next couple of months twice a week, like with no question about it, because I'm all legs. So, I mean, those would be my recommendations. I would also say for taller people, use more partial ranges of motion. I know people look at you in the gym and say, man, you know, this guy is just a meathead. He's just using a heavy weight for partials. But you got to do that just because we'll keep more stress on the muscle. Because, again, we have a longer range to work through. I don't really like back squatting anymore. Being as tall as we are, our spines are so long. I do front squat. I'll do a lot more of single leg squatting as well. Always try to pull, you know, since our arms are so close to the ground, we can kind of have a little more advantage there in terms of deadlifting. But, you know, just really try, work on the flies, work on the lateral raises. Pull-ups I found I've gotten better at. The thing with that for 12 people is you really just have to kind of have that attitude that you're going to get good at them. Mm-hmm. Because your arms are so long, obviously it takes longer to get to the top. But if you really work at them, you'll be better. You know, and I remember when I was young, I learned the Arnold tip where he talked about, he said, okay, I'm going to do 30 pull-ups. He didn't say five sets of five, he said, I'm going to do 30 pull-ups. And, you know, he would do maybe eight, and then he would do maybe six, and then four, and then two, and then two, and then two. But he did them until he got up to 30. So I did that, and then pull-ups are my favorite. Chin-ups are my favorite exercise now. So you
I
can build muscle.
concur.
You can grow. Yeah, you can build muscle. You can grow. You can get stronger. Being 6'6", 6'4", 6'5", but it just takes a lot of time and a lot of patience. And then on the nutrition part, like, you know, you know your body better than anybody else. You know, most of the really smart people that are talking out there are average size or short. And I'm not saying that to discount their knowledge or anything, because I believe there's a ton of smart people in this industry. We have a ton of smart guests on the show, but it changes your perspective of a lot of things. You know, and I think when you've never been tall, you don't know what it's like to be tall. But when you're tall, you know what it's like to be tall and to be short. You know, simply because you've had to try. You've tried everything that you've listened to. You know, people have talked about, oh, you know, mechanical disadvantage and things like that. Well, this person's 5'8". You know, so you know what it's like there, because you've tried every training recommendation that's for quote unquote average people or average size people. So just with the nutrition, you know that you're going to need more calories. You know, certainly more carbs when you diet than other people. But give it a whirl, and I hope I really can finish that Teen Nation article about that and send it out to you guys, because, you know, Lurch can grow. There was an old article on Teen Nation that said Lurch can't grow. Well, Lurch can grow.
Very good, good advice. And
and one more thing, you just look
yeah.
better. You know, like, it'll take a while. And the funny thing is, like, there's the pictures that are of me, like, on the internet, aside from, like, my Facebook pictures where, you know, I don't have my face in there and I'm showing my abs when I was lean. Aside from, yeah, that's funny. But aside from that, like, you know, no one has seen a picture of me since I put pictures up on my website. It's getting redone a long time ago. So I look substantially smaller in that. Like, you guys will be blown away when you see pictures of me now, because, you know, when you're 6'6 and 240, like, you look good. Or when you're 250, you look good. You know, 235 and lean, you look good. So that's just, don't hate in the tall people. I'm sorry. Those little, you can email me directly if you have any more specific questions about, you know, height-based training.
Very good. And you know what? It's interesting, but you might be tall and you might have skinnier legs than everyone else, but your skinny legs can probably be stronger than someone's bigger legs. At least that's what I found.
Yeah.
Like, my squat has been phenomenal. Like, I just got out of the gym and I was able to do, this morning I did 8 sets of 3 with my squat, and I had no problem getting up to 285 for that level, and that's a long ways from where I was 2 years ago. And I know we, especially with deadlifting, I see guys in the gym that are bigger than me, but they can't deadlift as much as me. So
Right.
you gotta, you know, sometimes you just gotta do that and show off the bigger guys. I don't know what I was trying to say there, but
No, you can't. I mean, like, you look at someone like Tony Freeman, who's a bodybuilder. He looks sick, and he's like 6'6" or around there. So, you know, it's just a matter of patience, man. It really is. Like, I mean, I want to be bigger, you know, tomorrow than I am today. But, you know, that's what bodybuilding and strength training is about, is, you know, continue to do it every day.
Absolutely. One more thing that we're going to talk about before we pass it off to Eric. But the one thing I do want to mention quickly is our sponsors. First off, TurbulenceTraining.com. You can boost muscle growth and blowtorch body fat at TurbulenceTraining.com. Craig always has cool stuff going on at the TTMembers.com site, and check that out as well. Also, Blackstar Labs, you can save 10% on every order when you use the code FIT10 at the checkout. Just throw that in the comments section. Save 10% on every order. Like I said, try their Casein Pro 2.0. I promise you, you will not regret it. It is the best tasting chocolate protein powder out there.
It's the Larrabee guarantee.
It is the Larrabee guarantee. Like, I'm not even kidding. Like, this stuff, like, I look forward to this shake every single day. I have one of these at work every single day. It's like dessert. You know what? I should actually, if anyone knows any, like, good protein powder recipes, or, like, things that you can use protein powder for, like chocolate protein powder, let me know. I want to try some things out. Like, I think it would, I know Cass, or no, I think it maybe it was Jen. It was Jen or Cass. Always used to talk about like a good like cleaner cheat meal is heavy cream with I'm pretty sure it was Cass. Fat free, sugar free chocolate Jell-O powder, pudding powder.
I actually I actually have a couple recipes for you, Kev, because one of the bonuses with the physique formula is the Surefire smoothies, and
Shazam.
it's about I'm going to
Shazam.
send it to you, buddy. I mean, it's
Thank you.
about 50, it's over 50 smoothie recipes, just protein powder and
Oh, and I
whole
just got a
grains.
magic bullet, so that would be awesome.
Yeah, I'm going to send you the iron. I call it the Iron Builder shake. It's just the name I put on it, but it's slamming. It's slamming. I'm not going to reveal it, but I'll send you the book. Actually, I'm going to send it to you right now, bud.
Definitely. And people, if you don't have a magic bullet, get one. They're awesome. You can make some fantastic shakes of that. Okay, so. Oh, and also RobertsonTrainingSystems.com, high octane corrective exercise and performance enhancement at RobertsonTrainingSystems.com. Mike always has great stuff going on there, and also at his blog at RobertsonTrainingSystems.blogspot.com. And last but not least, I have a question for you, the listeners. This is a question directed at many of the listeners because we, you know what? Especially for people in America, it's been a pretty tough time with the economy.
That's so.
Gas prices are going through the roof. Like I was mentioning, I'm biking to work so I can save money on gas. And you know, it comes to a point where, I mean, you got to start making sacrifices. And part of that is for people that buy supplements. Like you kind of have to, you know. Stop taking some of those supplements because you don't have the $30 a month or whatever it costs to purchase those. And I've made sacrifices. I don't use ZMA anymore,
Oh shit.
because I just I literally you know it's like I can't afford it. It's getting to that point where I just you know have to kind of work around it. And you know I really haven't. The main reason I took it is to help me get to sleep, and I haven't had a problem with that. And I come home from work every day, and I'm so freaking tired. I just want to go right to bed. So that hasn't been an issue. And you know what? I feel all right in the morning. You know, I really haven't noticed any difference since I've gone off it. So I'm guessing that's probably a good thing. And basically, I'm sticking with my BCAAs. And I talked about last week my new favorite GNC product, the blueberry flavored creatine, which is outstanding if you can buy it on sale. And that's about it. And also another thing, for people who do buy stuff like Muscle Milk, you can actually get it really cheap on Amazon.com through their subscribe feature. I always thought that was, like you can get Muscle Milk for like $18 a tub. It's a nice cheap product if you have to go that way. But I like blackstarlabs.com for all my supplement needs. So I think we're going to
Wrap it up.
wrap it up because we're going to have about an hour and a half long show. So coming up after us is me talking with Eric Cressy. And for us, for episode number 97, I'm Kevin Larrabee.
I'm Jimmy Smith.
And again, we'll see you next week. Don't forget to check out thefitcast.com. Check us out on iTunes. Please subscribe, submit reviews. Check us out on Facebook. You can friend Jimmy and I on Facebook, and also check out the FitCast Facebook group. And also, there's a FitCast fan page. All that stuff is available. We love you all. Good night, good luck, and we'll see you in 2 weeks. Take care. With me right now is Eric Cressy. You probably know him from Building the Efficient Athlete. And most notably, right now, he's got a new book out called Maximum Strength, which you can pick up pretty much anywhere, especially if you go to Amazon.com. Pick it up right away, get free shipping. So that's what I did. But Eric, welcome back to the show, man.
Thanks a lot for having me, Kevin. It's good to be back.
Yeah, so let's first talk a little bit about, I mean, you've been doing a lot lately. You've moved into a new facility. You got the new book out. I mean, what's life been like? It must be pretty crazy.
It's pretty hectic, especially with the summer season going and a lot of our younger athletes either getting home from college or we're kind of finishing up, you know, high school right now. So it's definitely an interesting time of year. It's a lot of fun. The days are longer, and your body hates you a little bit more from standing such long hours on hard floors, but it works out well. But we got the facility moved on right around the 10th of May. We opened up. So the new place, it's about twice as big as our old space. We got more, you know, straight away for our sprint work on the turf. Just a lot more amenities within the building itself, and a good overall environment within the building. So I'm pretty excited about it, and it's, you know, right in time for the busiest time of the year. So it's you know, been very good, just a little bit hectic.
And I've seen that you and Tony have already been pretty creative doing some circuit stuff. I saw a video of Tony on your blog doing
Yeah, we like to have a little bit of fun with it. Probably too much fun. That was a little bit of a quiet, you know, time at the facility, and we figured we'd spice it up. It actually got started because I was supposed to have the off day from training, and I actually got a little bit of a little cabin fever, I guess you could say. I was a little hyperactive, so I turned to Brian, who's one of our staff guys, and said, you know what, surprise me, write something on the board, some kind of circuit, and kill me with it. So he pulled together this little pseudo strongman circuit with a little improvisation, and it turned out to be pretty good, but we had a little fun and threw it up on YouTube just for the heck of it.
Yeah, if people want to check that out, you can just head to ericcressy.blogspot.com. I'll throw a link for that in the show notes so people can check that out.
Cool.
Well, we do have some questions from the listeners, so we'll probably just hit on those right now. And the first one is from Jason, who's actually a listener to the show, and he's a doctor, so he's got a pretty interesting question. Can you recommend a good kinesiology book? As a doctor, I know my anatomy, but in med school, we don't get much for kinesiology. I want to learn more. So what can you give them?
Absolutely. I mean, I think the some of your conventional exercise physiology texts don't really get the job done anymore because they're, you read them and it's, basically what you get in a regular undergrad class. For guys who already have a solid base in anatomy and want to understand how things move and everything, one of the better books I've seen for kind of that transition from regular anatomy to a little bit more of like a functional anatomy would be Kinetic Anatomy. That was written by Banky. That's a pretty good book. It's pretty cheap. I think it's like $12 or so. That's a good entry-level text. Sport Mechanics for Coaches and Coaches is another good one that kind of applies a little bit more to different scenarios. When Mike and I pulled together our Building the Efficient Athlete setup, this was one of the reasons we wanted to do it, was we wanted to take people who had an anatomy knowledge and make them appreciate, one, the functional aspect of it. So what happens when, one muscle doesn't do its job, something else has to compensate and kick in. What are the scar tissue patterns? Where do people break down first when, they use too much hamstrings, not enough glutes, so on and on, how to actually apply that to, troubleshooting common resistance training techniques. So that's, not so much a book, but it's a resource. It's an 8 DVD set that we put together that worked out pretty well. So those are three good ones. Brunstrom's Clinical Kinesiology, is a pretty good book. It tends to read a little bit more like stereo instructions, but it's very solid. Diagnosis and Treatment of Movement Impairment Syndromes isn't a kinesiology book per se, but it's a great, pseudo-physical therapy text that I think has a lot of fantastic stuff in it. So those would be the big ones. And on top of that, just, there are some guys out there who are writing good stuff. If you read Mike Robertson stuff and Mike Boyle and, Bill Hartman and some of those guys, they've put out some very good information. Great cook. I touch on it in my newsletters and blogs too. So there are a lot of free resources out there too that can really, kick things up a notch too if you're willing to look.
Absolutely. And if people haven't checked out Building the Efficient Athlete, that helped me a lot with my kinesiology. And I just wish I had it a semester before I took kinesiology and not the semester after, because I'm much more of like a visual learner. I like having things taught to me than reading it from a book. So that might be something that you want to check out, Jason.
And I think above all else, I think the absolute best way to learn this stuff, and I know your question came from a doctor, and in med school they don't get a whole lot of kinesiology. One of the best ways is to get around somebody who's doing what you're wondering about. So if you have questions about injuries, get around a good physical therapist. If you have questions about how to, take an injured athlete and progress them back to, like an actual, healthy training scenario, find a good strength and conditioning coach who understands how to bridge that gap. It's one of the best ways I've learned is just, taking guys out to lunch, picking their brain, and then just watching them in action. I'll actually be headed down to do some shadowing and some guys who are doing some great stuff in the baseball community here in the next few weeks. So no matter how old you are or where you're at, there's someone who's doing something better than you in a particular discipline. So, it speaks volumes for just finding the right people and surrounding yourself with them.
Well, let's talk a little bit about more about your clients, because we mentioned before you moved into a bigger facility, and just wondering, have you done anything new or different with your clients with all that extra space now? I know we talked before the show about picking up some extra equipment. Do you want to talk a little bit about that?
You know, to be honest, I don't think our training philosophy has deviated a ton. What we've essentially done is we've, you know, given ourselves more space to actually leverage our abilities. So, you know, we have more turf straight away. At this time of year, it's not going to be as much of an issue because we do most of our sprint and movement work outside at a local track. But in terms of rainy days and when the winter rolls around, you know, having 50 yards of turf indoors is going to be pretty huge for us. So we've got a crash wall. We can do all of our build-up work. We can do all change direction and stuff. And if we do actually want to do some top speed work, we can do that acceleration because we have the crash wall in place. So, you know, it's similar in the terms, in the context of, you know, in the way that I design my facility, a lot of it is very baseball specific. We brought in, you know, certain specialty bars, things like that, that we can use to work around the limitations that you see in baseball guys. And, you know, that's carried forward. But, you know, we also work with a lot of athletes outside of baseball. We work with weekend warriors. So, I mean, there's certainly a little bit there for everyone. Yeah, I think one thing that's been a big help for us is actually just expanding our medicine ball wall. You know, we went from an 8-foot wall to an 18-foot wall. So you've got a lot more space there that opens some things up for you. And, you know, we also got a great parking lot that we can get access to real easy. So we can, you know, do any kind of strongman stuff we want outside, push cars. We can do clean tosses with the medicine balls outside. Really a lot of stuff. But to be honest, in terms of my training philosophy, you know, I personally have probably gotten a lot more baseball specialized than I have been in the past, so to speak. You know, it's really dictated by our clientele and really my interests. So, you know, I'm spending a lot more time looking at different things that affect baseball guys and, you know, trying to, you know, take some goniometer measurements on our guys and get a feel for range of motion deficits, what's happening over the course of a competitive season, how guys differ from preseason versus postseason, and seeing how it compares to what I've heard and what I've seen, and, you know, trying to build some trends like, you know, some of the best guys in the business are already doing.
Very good. We got another question that has to do about replacing exercises in the maximum strength program. Can I substitute speed benching in the second phase of the maximum strength program for another exercise? I ask this because the benches at my gym are always being used in the morning and I don't have time to wait around.
Yeah, that's fine. You know, for a lot of guys, a basic clap push-up would be a great thing. You know, most people need more closed chain upper body stuff. You know, you can still get the same explosive training effect from a clap push-up. You know, basically bar speed is what you're looking for with a speed bench. So that's good as long as the technique's fine. I mean, you know, additionally, some people don't even need to speed bench. You know, if your strength isn't appreciable enough, chances are some extra rep work isn't going to hurt you. So there's no reason you can't grab, you know, some dumbbells and do some sets of 5 to 6 instead and kind of let that count for that. So absolutely.
Now a question about anterior pelvic tilt problems. This is from Adam Wallace. He says, do you have any good fixes for anterior pelvic tilt problems? Pretty general question.
I mean, we wrote the whole, you know, Neanderthal No More series a while back, and, you know, I could give the classic exercise response, but I think I'll probably go in a different direction. Something that's kind of cool, I was talking with Neil Ramp, who's a buddy of mine. He works with the Arizona Diamondbacks, and we were talking about an athlete of his. He said that he had had, you know, chronic, you know, serious migraines. He had neck pain, all kinds of crazy things, and, you know, they had done all the manual therapy in the world, and it was really just a, you know, on and off phenomena, something that kept coming back until he sat down with him and actually checked his breathing. He was taking 17 breaths per minute. If you do the math on that, that works out to 21,000 breaths per minute. Most people are in the 10 to 12,000 range, according to Neil. So this guy was taking an extra 10,000 breaths a day compared to everyone else. I mean, presumably that can get some of those neck muscles tight if you're breathing the wrong way and in that kind of volume. So you work on his breathing, and all of a sudden those problems disappear. Neil's a brilliant guy, you know, and that's a specific instance, but, you know, you can take that and apply it to any kind of postural issue like you're seeing with an anterior pelvic tilt. You know, I can give him all the hip flexor stretches in the world, but it's like, you know, giving somebody Tylenol when they spend all day banging their head against the wall. Okay, that's not going to get rid of their headache necessarily. The issues that he needs to address are, one, you know, how is his exercise technique? Is he firing his glutes when he, you know, hits lockout on a deadlift, or is he sticking an anterior pelvic tilt and just substituting lumbar extension? You know, so get the glutes firing. But I think more importantly, look at your daily life. Are there things that you're doing where you're stuck in anterior pelvic tilt? I mean, are you sitting too much? That's probably the case for most people. Can you get up, move around, get out of that, you know, that chronic position? You know, creep starts to kind of kick in over the course of, you know, 20, 30 minutes, and that's what becomes a problem. So get up, move around a little bit more. Additionally, look at problems in your daily life. You know, your classic, you know, example of anterior pelvic tilt in women is high heels. If you wear high heels, you're going to shift your weight forward, and that can easily, from a compensation pattern, you know, force you to get stuck in anterior pelvic tilt. So look at your footwear, look at your daily life patterns, look at your exercise technique, and then start thinking about what you can do differently in terms of, you know, good exercises.
So for the people in the audience who are in the desk jobs and the office jobs, usually recommend to get up every, you know, 20, 30 minutes and just walk around a little
Absolutely.
Bit.
Yeah, one great trick we've seen from some people, actually Jesse Burdick, a buddy of mine who's out in California, he actually recommends to some of his clients that if they use Outlook Express, just to set the alarm to go off every 30 minutes, tell them to get up, you know, just get up and move around, go get a drink of water, anything. Just standing up can make a big difference.
Very good. Is there anything that is coming up that people should keep a lookout for? Like, I know I was looking on your blog, and you have something coming up with Cassandra Forsythe.
Yep. Cass is coming up, and she and I are going to just do an afternoon seminar. It's on Sunday, June 29th at our facility just outside of Boston. You know, for whatever reason, we've fallen into the baseball niche, and we've, you know, kind of been perceived as predominantly a male facility. We actually have some females, both athletes and non-athletes, you know, you're kind of your weekend warriors, who jump right in and really get in on the fun. So, you know, one of our goals with this was to show that we're not necessarily just a male facility. And, you know, Cass is like my big sister, so she was the obvious person to bring in for a seminar. She's absolutely fantastic and is really ahead of the curve on this stuff and doing stuff that nobody else is really doing. So Cass is going to talk a lot about the nutrition aspect of it and kind of the psychological component to being a woman interested in training and nutrition and the, you know, the camaraderie that goes along with, you know, different, you know, kind of women specific, you know, exercise protocols like yoga and curves and all that stuff. You know, I'm going to kind of touch up a little bit more on, you know, ACL risk factors, you know, problems that arise with wearing high heels, a lot more of the biomechanical stuff that applies to women much more so than men. So I'll be more of the biomechanics geek. I was joking the other day that, you know, I don't claim to know anything about women, but luckily I know something about biomechanics and women still have to move. So I can at least fake it for 90 minutes or so. But this is predominantly Cassandra's show, and I know a lot of our clients are real excited about it. So we'll have a good crew out for it. Probably have some videos and some demonstrations. And I don't know, Tony's really in touch with his feminine side, so I'm sure he'll contribute quite a bit to the discussion.
Yeah, everyone that listened to the first time he was on the show knows that. So back and check that out.
Absolutely. And, you know, and obviously the new book is out too. So that's a, you know, something kind of, I guess you could say new, although it's been out since early May in bookstores. And, you know, and we did some pre-sales starting in mid-April. So it's doing pretty well. And so far the feedback's been great. So I guess that's another thing, I guess, up and coming to a degree.
Yeah. Is that the programs that are in the book, is that, I mean, for people out there that don't know that, I mean, I know that the program is a lot like what you've been doing at your facility.
Yeah, it's similar. I mean, one thing I tried to make pretty clear in the writing and stuff that I've done about the book is that, you know what, this isn't intended for a beginner. You know, mm-hmm. I think it actually works really well more for the guys who are listening to the FitCast, the people who kind of have that base of knowledge. They're enthusiastic about exercise. Maybe they've read some muscle magazines, and, you know, they've gotten to that point where they've actually looked to the internet for more of a resource to give them feedback on what it is that'll take them to that next level. And that's really kind of the audience that I think we geared this towards, someone who's, you know, who's kind of left the muscle and fitness and maybe even the men's health, men's fitness behind a little bit and is looking for a little bit more, you know, kind of in the way of, you know, taking it to the next level. So that's what we tried to do with the book. The programs are 16 weeks, it's four-week phases. You know, and so what you get is everything from soft tissue work in the form of foam rolling and, you know, kind of, you know, more focal soft tissue work with the ball. There's some mobility stuff, and there's the programming. So, you know, what we've really done in essence is we've taken a lot of stuff that I've done and we put it in one place, you know, be it corrective exercise, performance enhancement, all that, the mobility, the, you know, the fun stuff like that, and put it in one place and made it a little bit easier for people to see how everything relates together. And I think what I like the most about the book is probably the simple fact that, you know, unlike a lot of other programs out there, it actually gives you, you know, a way to quantifiably measure your progress. Mm-hmm. So I think traditionally a lot of things have been very subjective. You know, I'm looking better, I must be working. You know, that doesn't always work so great, but, you know, in the context of what we're doing, it's, you know, there's pre-testing and there's post-testing, and it's a way for people to learn how to, you know, increase training volume at times and back off on training volume at times, because it's a, you know, a way to kind of get that that demand that actually kicks in. So lots of adaptations, you know, occurring, and you just need to know how to take advantage of them.
When I actually recommended this book to a friend, and he saw the title of the book, and he said, well, I don't want to get stronger. I want to get bigger. I want hypertrophy. What do you say to the people that say that?
A lot of people need to get stronger in order to get bigger. Mm-hmm. You know, let's say two guys are doing, I don't know, three sets of six on the bench. Who's going to have a better set of 3x6? Someone who's got a 300-pound bench press or someone who's got a 225 bench press? You know, the more you bring up your max, the more, you know, total poundage you're going to be able to handle in that classic, you know, hypertrophy or muscle building, you know, phase that we see in all the muscle mags. And don't get me wrong, those work. You know, people know that volume builds muscle traditionally. You know, as long as it's within an appropriate range, you know, you're going to make progress with it. But I think that for a lot of people, taking, you know, maybe it might not be the best analogy, but one step back, two steps forward, by really taking some time to focus on strength is a good thing. You know, and additionally, I think, the way that this book is structured, most of the feedback we've gotten thus far is that people have put a lot of meat on, you know, hamstrings, butt, upper back, you know, stuff like that. So it's the stuff that you see a little bit more in powerlifters, believe it or not, but it's also just the kind of stuff that you need to keep you healthy. You know, people who have anterior knee pain usually have no hamstrings and glutes. People who have shoulder pain usually have no upper back strength or endurance or good function. So it's amazing how, I guess, performance and health are so closely related.
Yeah, and for people, this is another question that I got for a friend who was basically asking, because he's an ectomorph, and I thought it was really cool that in the book, for all the, you know, the finishers or the end cardio at the end of each session, you have it broken up. So if you're an ectomorph, you do this; mesomorph, you do this; endomorph, you do this. I thought that was just, you know, it's just like really just nailing down every little thing.
Absolutely. So, I mean, we still had you know, some different things that we tried to address for the individual. I mean, yeah, it's, to the degree, it's a mass market book, and you can only get so individualized, but we tried to make sure that the energy systems recommendations were a little bit more specific to the individual, and, you know, so far the feedback's been great. You know, I also threw in some stuff in terms of just kind of like technique practice, a chance to get into the gym, just do a little bit of blood flow work, take some of the exercises that people are doing as a chance to practice the technique itself and, you know, kind of help to optimize recovery with some light exercise. So that's been another thing that a lot of people have used in the past, that this book includes, that has worked pretty well for some people.
Well, Eric, I want to thank you for taking 20 minutes out of your day to spend with us and talk a little bit about what's been going on
at Crescent
Performance. And, you know, it's always good to talk to you and have you back on the show, and we hope to have you on again in the future.
Absolutely. Anytime, Kevin.
And if people want to check out some of Eric's stuff, you can, of course, head to ericcressy.com, cressyperformance.com for stuff about his facility, and you can pick up his book on Amazon or at his website, and also we'll have links for all those things, including all the books that Eric mentioned at thefitcast.com. So again, Eric, thanks a lot.
No sweat. Thanks, Kevin.